Hello to the latest health news for you. It is almost 2020. We'll still go through a couple more weeks, but it's almost 2020, so we need to make sure we secure the health for our future, especially as we head into a new century. And of course, we are going to go over the mainstream and alternative health news. So you may not agree with every source, but we're going to look at the information itself, the information that's inside, and we're going to see those perspectives for what they're worth, because we don't want to just talk about what the mainstream is always talking about, like vaping, for example, which they've been talking about now for how long? Maybe a month. We should probably count, shouldn't we? But let's get right into it, shall we? So we see 87% of children exceed recommended screen time. It says children's average daily time spent watching television or using a computer or mobile device increased from 53 minutes at age 12 months to more than 150 minutes at 3 years. And this is according to the National Institutes of Health, the University of Alabama, of Albany, and the New York University Langone Medical Center. And it says our results indicate that screen habits begin early. So early on in life, the most important stages of life, which we see predetermines the rest of your life, is seen right here, where we're seeing great impacts in people's health. And you'll see in just a moment the other things that are contributing to this. And some of this might be like common sense to some people, but on the other hand, some people just don't know how much this actually impacts children in their brain, and they just let their children use these devices time after time for long periods of time. So it says here, the American Academy of Pediatrics says limiting screen time to about an hour a day for children from 2 to 5 years of age would be the recommended. But in the current study, researchers found that 87% of the children had screen time exceeding these recommendations. So pretty much virtually everybody exceeded those recommendations, which is crazy to say, because in a way, you're also looking at the other factors, like the fact they're not spending time with their family, or the fact that they're not socializing, so they're increasing their real-world skills. Instead, they're increasing maybe their technological skills. And, you know, I'm not against that, but maybe we shouldn't be on it as much as we are, because I see every time I'm out, at least everybody's on their phone. I mean, you could even look at the Democratic conventions or the different events out there politically, and even the politicians are on their phones, even though there's something else going on. So it says by age 7 and 8, screen time fell to under 1.5 hours per day. The researchers believe this decrease relates to time consumed by school-related activities. So if they're not being brainwashed by all this technology, they're being brainwashed by the schools. How much better is that? So they're being consumed by these very devices they partake upon themselves, which sounds very familiar to the drugs that we put on ourselves, is that it's consuming us when we are consuming it. But it says also here, compared to children in center-based care, children in home-based care, whether provided by a parent, babysitter, or relative, were more than twice as likely to have high screen time. So that's not to say that people at children who are raised at home instead of at a care center are going to have more screen time, but the parents are letting it happen. And so maybe it's just on behalf of the parents to taking more responsibility for their children, because most of the time children may go to these center-based care centers anyways in the first place to get away from their parents, or the parents don't want to take that responsibility of their children, so that's what they do. And so what? Okay, yeah, they have less screen time, but they also are not with their parents as much. So we need to look at both sides here, right? And if we're seeing that at home care, well, they have higher screen time, maybe we should do something else at home, right? Start where they live, actually, because that would be really important, wouldn't it be? Where they live is basically how they're going to be raised. And if they're raised on their phone, they're likely going to stick with that habit. It says here, too, that too much screen time harms brain development. And again, these are just recent articles, some very popular articles this week as well. And it says a Canadian study suggested preschool children spent an average of 2 hours using screens daily, and those who spent more than this had a 7.7-fold higher risk of meeting criteria for ADHD. And you know, if you're looking at 7.7-fold, that means multiple or times, you know, in a way. So you're saying, okay, well, 7 times higher risk of ADHD for spending more than 2 hours using screens, which we just saw from the previous article. They are indeed doing way more than what is recommended, and especially for such a young age. And you got to keep in mind, they're also the most vulnerable at their age for things like drugs, things like nutrition, things like especially technology, which now has the ability to mimic every human behavior. So it can replace, let's say, social behavior, it can replace different dimensions demands that we may have. And that's only increasingly growing as we choose to have technology take over our life and do things for us. So it says they were also more likely to have expressive speech delays. So to be have high energy and speak like this and be able to connect the dots, you know, that is something that I wish my generation and the generations after, I hope they can do this too, because it's really important that we do connect these dots. Otherwise, we don't see the bigger picture, right? If you cannot connect the dots, you're only seeing one part of the picture, but you can't see the whole picture. And that could be sometimes difficult, right? Let's say if you're addressing part of the whole body, you want to make sure that you understand the whole body, because the one part is connected to everything else. So always understanding the bigger picture is important, but also understanding the roots. So deep and whole, you know, beyond your brain, it says staring at screens is damaging for eyesight. So literally the windows to the soul is being destroyed. Maybe that is a sign that we clearly have something wrong with our society. And it even says that 1,000 studies linking EMF, which is radiation, to over 140 different adverse health effects, there has been studies, specifically on greedmedinfo.com. It's a database where they have a lot of different studies and statistics. I have some articles from them as well later on here. And they're showing how basically EMFs can damage your brain in a way, because EMFs basically penetrates all your cells in such a way, because we're always exposed to different rays. Just imagine how many things are going through us right now while we speak, while we think, and that could maybe cause some interruptions, especially again at the most vulnerable of age and as it grows, like into 5G radiation, for example. So we see brain differences may be tied to obesity, kids study says. So brain differences, I've been talking about this in my seminar. You can see the past video is Shocking Health Statistics Seminar, that I talk about how basically the bigger your body may be, the smaller your brain may be. This is a common thing found by a man named Daniel Amen, MD, and he does a lot of research on the brain health and how he saw that people who were generally heavier in weight had a smaller brain size or deformed brain size, and it could be restored through healthy eating patterns, through better lifestyle and nutrition. So it says the researchers found differences in the heaviest children brain scans, slightly less volume in the brain region behind the forehead that controls what are known as executive function tasks, and that includes the ability to plan, control impulses, and handle multiple tasks simultaneously. So that to me sounds like anxiety and ADHD, like what we just talked about, right? So connecting these dots again are going to be important. So children having especially high rates of ADHD and autism, which I also say in the seminar, we've seen literally numbers 1,500% increase, 300% increase, like alarming skyrocketing numbers in this generation that we have here. So then we have children worldwide are at risk of drop in physical activity. So on top of the radiation, on top of the smartphones, on top of the lack of social, on top of the lack of family, we have all these different factors, right? It's not just one or another, it's all these together. We see more than 50 published studies covering a total of 22,000 children found that children of all ages around the world are at risk from a decline in physical activity. So we haven't seen too many statistics on physical activity declining yet, from what I've seen at least, but we're gonna start seeing that as this technology becomes more and more convenient. You can just sit down and say, hey, turn my lights on, and guess what, I just said that and nothing happened, because guess what, I don't have that in my house, and I don't think I have to, because I can just turn on the plug. If I want lights on, I could just flip a switch, it's not that hard. If I want my TV on, I can click a button, it's not that hard. And as it is, that has rays, right? That has different things, but it's not nearly as harmful as having everything connected to this grid of 5G or Wi-Fi or whatever it is, these forms of radiation which are known to cause adverse effects. And I think I'll talk more about that soon too. And I've talked about this in previous videos as well. I have a video on 5G. I talk about radiation too, even in the presentation. That presentation has a lot of unique things that you may want to look at. So it says aluminum exposure altering newborn development. So again, starting at a young age, that even includes baby birth and before that too, preconception, all that. like literally matters and plans the rest of your life. So aluminum exposure, that's a heavy metal. Okay, we see that in vaccines. We see, and that's also introduced in the seminar and where exactly it's found. And it says studies documenting aluminum contamination in infant formula. So not just the vaccines, but in the infant formula. And we know they mimic like certain minerals in the body, act as minerals. They get into parts of the body where they should not be. They interrupt chemical pathways, therefore basically interrupting them and causing disturbances within the body, because we want harmony, we want balance. That's what nature strives for. Meanwhile, we want to destroy that with what we're doing to our bodies, sort of a bioweapon, if you will. So you have young children receive multiple aluminum containing vaccines in their first 3 years. Regulators have never properly assessed these astronomical levels of aluminum for safety because they're way over CDC limits for when they're tested in labs, for example. And again, the receipts themselves on the label for the vaccines don't say that they've been tested for in pregnant women. Well, they literally say that they haven't been. They say that they haven't been tested for children or anything of the sort. So that should alarm people right there and then. Not even the fact that any of that could be true here with the mercury, even though it also says that it has thimerosal, which is aluminum and mercury, right? So then we say here, evidence indicates the body does not easily eliminate vaccine forms of aluminum, which can make their way into the brain. So of course, yeah, it's going to reach the parts of the body that are the most efficient, most vulnerable, especially in children who are already vulnerable and growing these organs as they live and as they grow with hopefully good nutrition. You know, if they have good nutrition, maybe some of these things can go away. But even then, these heavy metals, I mean, talk about half-life, talk about staying in the environment for a long time. You're worried about plastic, you're worried about this, that. Heavy metals is something we need to focus on, and it's in our fish, right? And we need omega-3s in our brains. So then it says the prevention of the epidemic increase of neurodegenerative diseases of elderly people. So basically having you know, aluminum in these products, and whether you're taking it as an adult or a child, it's going to then maybe affect you later on in life, especially with dementia and Alzheimer's and related diseases in elderly people. So maybe that's another connection to, say, those forgetting memory, to having all those bad mental impairments, if you will. So then we have scientists raise alarm on chemicals found in smartphones and TV screens. So then, you know, in addition to the smartphones and what they're doing to us socially, you have literally what it's doing to us chemically. So every single layer of denaturement there can possibly be, we see it says the chemicals were found to have properties known to inhibit animals' ability to digest nutrients. So there goes the nutrient question, and to disrupt the proper functioning of the gallbladder and thyroid, which, you know, the thyroid has things like iodine, which is also like really essential for people. They had to put it in salt because people weren't getting enough iodine, and they're still not getting enough iodine. It's like one of those minerals like magnesium, which is like completely forgotten, was used in the past but not used anymore, and is something that a lot of people could use because it helps run the thyroid. You know, that's just one example. And so if you can't even have the ability to do what your body was meant to do, we see an issue. That's common in autoimmune diseases, is that your body's attacking itself, therefore it's not doing what it was meant to do. It's literally an attack on our nature, on our very being, the way we were built. So in his previous work, the guy who did the study, Glessy was also the first researcher to identify that toxic perfluorinated and polyfluorinated chemicals were widespread and contaminating the environment. His research ultimately resulted in the entire class of chemicals being banned globally. So the same guy that is has banned these other chemicals that are bad and still leaching in our environment today and in our water supply is now saying these other chemicals are also bad. So things to pay attention to. We often see later on in time, we are late. We're always late to understand what is going on, and then we learn from experience, and then we wonder, why is this happening? Why is cancer happening when it's all right in front of us all along? You see what I mean? And this cause of confusion is really just not too surprising to me when I see how many people are just unaware of these simple things that maybe they're not simple because they're not told to you, but it's simple to me because it's right in front of us sometimes. If we're taking a vaccine and don't know what's in it, why are we taking it? If we're eating a food but don't know what it is, what makes it a food, and what makes that fit for consumption? What makes you think that you know, the drug is going to help you when the food is the root cause to the problem? I mean, these things need to be considered, right? And I hope people can wake up to that. So it says the youngest generation is suffering the greatest deal of loneliness. So Gen Z may make fun of the boomers. And, you know, I mentioned this before, right? The Zoomers may make fun of the boomers of different things and how we've come about due to the past issues that we want to fix. But how could we fix that if we ourselves are having issues already? Again, we see the smartphones, we see the problems in health, which aren't always being addressed. Maybe we're addressing things politically with people like Nick Fuentes, as I mentioned in previous videos, but we aren't addressing what's happening in health necessarily. And health is really going to affect us, literally our mentality, as you just saw, and different things like that. So having Gen Z more lonely than the boomers by literally almost three times is going to be a big, big impact, especially later on in life, as we do need families to thrive. We need families to reproduce and to fix the problems that we've created by not having what our nature was intended to do, which is really what everything comes down to, right? So then we see a smart meter's pulsing radiation. So a radiation example here, you know, another recent article, it says sickness is not uncommon from exposure to all wireless sources. Unfortunately, smart meters emit biologically harmful radioactive, you know, emissions 24/7. And here's like a graphic picture of some of the things that people have reported with smart meters. This might be something that might be introduced to your house. They want to put 5G, as we know, in every different part of the world, in all sorts of different places, so you always have good coverage. And they may always explain the benefits, but they don't always talk about the health issues and who's sounding the alarms, right? We don't always hear all perspectives, and that's what I achieve to do here on the show, is try to show people these different perspectives, right? Literally a show to show. I'm not here to push anything onto you. I'm here to show you just a different perspective, and you come to make of it for what you want to make of it. So Mr. Smarty Pants, you know, it's called smart, but really it's just making us dumb. I mean, that's the way I see it, at least. Then we see artificial wombs to make women obsolete. So if you're talking an attack on nature, how about just replace the baby to begin with, right? Just, okay, well, all these issues happen, let's just replace the whole baby. Artificial wombs, you know? So, okay, we can't be fertile anymore. That's the big issue, right? Infertility and lack of sperm count and stuff like that. So, yeah, artificial wombs is something that's completely possible. And so in this new world we're creating for ourselves with all this technology, I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. And this is a report done by the Corbett report. So something to look into if you're interested in that report. But it's crazy to me that people may actually believe in wanting to do some of this, especially through time as we do become more desperate. But should we lose faith in what our humanity has and what our nature has? Because we do see people healing from nutrition. We do see people healing from being out in nature and experiencing and talking to people and doing these things that that technology is supposedly helping us do, but not really. So like, look here, so these Facebook will now meddle with your love life. So, oh, it's going to help me with my love life. Maybe instead of going online for somebody, especially somebody that Facebook is going to tell you to date according to your certain friends or whatever, how about, and that's going to cause like a whole bunch of drama, I'm sure, and cause more people to be on Facebook, which, you know, of course they would want. You know, they say the future is private, yet they're literally going into your relationships. That doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, does anybody see just the straight out hypocrisy in the way they use words and the way they use these marketing tactics? Okay, the future should be private. Of course, everything should be private if it's your own, right? But what do you have to hide anyways? And we see how much was hidden and now things are getting exposed. Like, you really might want to define what private means then, okay? Because it's not as it sounds so private. If they want to put all these internet watching you all the time, and it's been shown that they're watching you through your cameras, through this. In fact, Mark Zuckerberg himself actually covers up the cameras on his laptop. Look that one up. You know, he covers that stuff up because he knows. He knows for sure. And he admits to a lot of the things that he's been accused of, actually. So then we see here, fixing nature's genetic mistakes in the womb. Will this alternative to abortion or chronic care work? So despite all this, you know, talk about babies and what's going to happen, right, with them, even though we're, again, being God, it seems like another case here. It says fetal gene therapy is not an effort to build designer babies. I would hope not. Improving or enhancing the fetus, okay, but rather is focused on preventing death from disease, which to me sounds good, right? Just in that general aspect. But it also shows here that they had some issues with that and it didn't always turn out well. And that's the issue often testing with this stuff, is you're really messing with a delicate subject in life. And that is, you know, infancy. And maybe it's, we got to get down to the more root cause. So we're talking about, okay, well, these rare diseases, how are they coming about? Is it because we're just completely unsure that we have to do this? So, you know, there is some investigation to that, rather than just being figuring how we can just change everything for the better. So just something to think about in latest news. And then we see here is even Mayor Pete tell a 7-year-old girl abortion is good. Why are these people telling you, you know, what to do with your body? They say here, oh, well, a woman's right to choose what to do with her own body. They're literally telling you what is good. And that is literally counterintuitive, I would say, because you're literally telling them what is good for their body. And again, just because you think something is right does not mean it's right. And you know, who decides that in the first of all? And just, and if something exists like that, it's, you can't really get rid of it. And to be honest, you know, I'm against the practice personally, but I'm not going to push on others. What I'm saying is that it's basically unnatural in its simple form. Right? I mean, who would want their baby to be exterminated like that unless they had some sort of issue to get there? And in rich cases, we don't see the statistics lining up for that unless it's like literally their own fault. And so this has become more general consensus among conservative communities, but I'm not here to side. I'm just saying that with what's in nature is not that process of abortion. In fact, if we're losing fertility and stuff like that, you should probably treasure the birth rates, the infancy stage. You should probably really take care of your baby. And so maybe it's that responsibility, again, that we talked about before. I don't know. What are your thoughts on it, right? So cell phone distraction linked to increase in head injuries. So, you know, it's not a surprise to me that even the cell phones are causing injuries themselves, just physically, literally by us being distracted. Are we that unconscious to where we literally have the phones telling us everything and we're not even looking up to see the world above us? Because that's literally what is everything.